Fly on the Wall, Season 1, Episode 7, Dan. Can you believe that we've made it to 7?
I can't believe it, because at one point I didn't think we were, Tim. I think all of us felt you weren't going to come back from South Korea at one point.
Yeah, I did take an extra week, didn't
I? Yeah, we said 1 week. We did. There was a video that said 1 week, captured the phone call where you broke the news to me. I was heartbroken.
Well, what happened? I got sick, and I had to go to the doctors, and I'll talk about it a bit later, but I was really sick. I could barely talk. I tried calling you, and I was like, I can't do it.
I think it was a made-up illness that you had, to be honest. I think it was
definitely not.
Well, what did you think you had?
Maybe a bit over the top, but I actually thought I had some sort of Korean bird flu or something.
No, you told me you had the Korean flu.
The Korean flu.
Yeah, which I'm not actually sure is a thing.
Well, before I left, just quickly before we get onto feedback, I left, there was an outbreak in Korea of gastro.
Okay, so you had gastro.
Well, no, I had more flu-like symptoms, but I'm just saying, there were illnesses over there. There was sickness going around.
It was in the air.
So it was there and I got it and I had to take an extra week.
Yeah, okay. Well, whatever.
Dan, as always, we start the show with a bit of feedback. There's lots this week to get through, obviously.
There was. You went away on a week where there was a lot of feedback. People were pretty vocal.
Yeah, and just on that, me being away, Nathan Fraser suggested that the next time Tim decides to be lazy, why don't you get a guest host in?
Yeah, well, I'm looking into that at the moment. Right. I've put the feelers out, taken a few resumes.
Okay.
There's interest. There's
some
absolute
contenders.
Interest. Yeah, well, mainly just based on availability.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. The rule book backlash is written down here. So there's been lots. We've been inundated with messages. You set a rule about if you're telling someone a secret and that person is in a relationship, expect that secret to be told to the partner.
To the partner. People aren't happy.
Well, people are worried.
People are worried. I had a lot of people say, look, I need to know, just so I know what's out there. What have you passed on that I've told you?
Yeah.
Again, I'd just like to stress, it's that was more of a notice for all of you. So it's from now on.
Yeah.
I'll be.
From now on, telling everything. So we won't get any secrets anymore now. So thanks.
Yeah.
Maggie on YouTube commented, we spoke about why things get awkward in lifts when it doesn't matter who you're with, you get into a lift and things just get awkward.
Okay,
amazing explanation.
Talk about a detailed explanation. If you want to check it out, go to our YouTube and go to the episode 6 link. And in the comments, Maggie has she's laid it out.
Yeah.
And we thought when I sent it to you, you've gone, I reckon that's actually it.
I reckon that's it. She's nailed it.
She's nailed it.
She's not even a behavioural scientist and she's just taken a guess. I reckon this is probably it.
Yep.
Boom. Written a theory and it's amazing, Dan. So make
Hit
sure
people
check it out. The last one here is take your lips off the mic. You're popping like a microwavable bag of popcorn.
Oh.
So, okay, well, so this is what I usually do, actually rest the microphone
rest
on
there?
My
well,
chin.
You've told me to rest it there, but I'm guessing
not.
All right, I'll...
Yeah. Dan, you're struggling with a bit of small talk at the moment. We're going to talk about that next.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds perfect.
I'm looking forward to it.
No, let's do it. Tim, as you said, I'm struggling with small talk and it's there's
something specific in small talk?
Yeah, well, one thing in particular has come to the forefront, but when you're in small talk exchanges, there are certain crutches you lean on. Certain statements that you
How
might
your
throw
weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, questions. Always on a Monday.
Yeah.
How's the weekend? And then on a Friday,
What's on for the weekend?
What's on for the weekend?
Mate, I throw that out on a Tuesday sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah, why not?
I do the lunch one.
What's for lunch? Yeah, that smells good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like already we've named a few.
Yep.
One that I've found is a little bit problematic. You look good today. Oh, you look good today. Or you look nice today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right?
Well,
isn't that a nice start to the day?
It's a nice compliment.
It is a nice compliment. Yeah, you look great. Yeah. Good for you.
That's
Would you take it positively?
I think so. Is there any other way to take that?
Yep.
So you've experienced someone.
Yeah, gosh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
You've walked
yes.
up to someone
mm-hmm.
and said, you look good today.
I said, you look nice today. Oh. Compared to every other day, hey?
Oh.
Oh. I don't look good every day?
Okay.
So, I mean, really, you start something with good intentions and it gets thrown back in your face. I mean, what are you meant to do? Can we not use that anymore?
Well, it seems, I mean, that particular person, no. So what did you do? Did you just backpedal back and go, well, no, what I meant was...
Straight away.
There's something
Yeah, no,
about your aura today.
Yeah, I just meant, oh, you know, like even nicer than usual. Like you've gone an extra mile, and then it became what I don't put in effort usually. I mean, there's no win. Apparently, there's no win with this topic.
Can I ask, was this a male or a female?
It was a female.
Okay. So, girls put a lot of effort into... Yeah. And they do.
I get it. There's a lot...
There's a whole...
Hair, makeup, you know, they apparel, jewellery.
They put in way more effort than we do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, every day for them, it probably is. They do. They get up that extra 30 minutes. They get everything done. They look amazing when they walk out the door.
Yep.
And if they only get it... You're going to have to do it every day, I think.
So is the problem not the statement, but it's the wording? So maybe if I just said, you look nice.
Yes. Take out today.
You reckon it's today?
Dan, there's something that a lot of guys have that I've never had.
Okay.
That I would love to have.
Yeah.
That I've found myself getting.
Do I have it?
I reckon you might.
Okay.
Talking about a man crush.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Many a man crush. Yeah.
Lots of actors out there, good looking actors.
Yeah.
Lots of sports stars. Lots of...
Zac Efron comes to mind. I mean, that's a great
Hugh
man
Jackman's.
Crush. Yeah, Hugh Jackman. Oh.
Yeah. Yes, Chris Hemsworths.
Yep. I mean, just good looking, rugged sort of... You know what they are? I think we're attracted to the man's man.
Yeah.
A bit manly, a bit...
Yeah.
Somebody we go, I admire them.
Yeah, you do. And just nice people. And
yep.
You go, where are the faults?
Mm.
You can't find any.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just sort of demigods. Almost,
well,
you know?
I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Who is your demigod?
Well, I didn't think I'd find it here, but I did. As we were talking about earlier, went away to Korea with the family, whole family.
Ooh,
were there.
A Korean demigod.
Yeah, well, an American demigod. Someone newly introduced to the family.
Okay.
My sister's new boyfriend, Andy.
Oh, no, that's a bad idea.
Why?
No, you need to maintain some sort of dominance over a boyfriend.
Dan, let me just shed some light on this individual.
I'm concerned, go
so
on.
So, obviously, as all boyfriends do, the sister, you know, raves about them. You're going to love him, you know, well, don't, just steady up, just let's go easy.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, well, you got to approach with caution.
That's right.
A male presence to your sister, I mean, we're always going to be protective as big brothers, aren't we?
Nothing could prepare me for what I encountered when I met Andy, one of the most amazing people. I'll tell you a story, right?
I'm very skeptical of
this.
Yeah,
it's very... He saved the family in Korea.
Oh, goodness.
I'm not even joking.
Really?
So I wasn't there for this.
Tim.
But they were all in a taxi. They got driven in a taxi to this place. And there's not heaps of English-speaking people in Korea. They speak Korean, obviously.
Yeah.
Taxi's tire blows off. They're on the freeway. It's freezing in Korea. Snow falling. Tire blows off a taxi. 80-year-old driver around about there.
He's not changing doesn't many tyres, is he?
Doesn't speak a lick of English and doesn't know how to change a tyre. Everyone's panicking.
So who's in the car?
By the way, it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, walk me through it. Who's in the car?
Mum.
Yep.
Dad.
Yep.
My girlfriend, Emma.
Okay.
My sister, Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy. All right, five of them.
Okay.
Andy gets out of the car, out of the taxi. They're on a freeway, stopped on a freeway. This car's buzzing past. Gets out. Decides to change the tyre. Freezing cold. No gloves. Hands are freezing. He's changing that tyre.
Again, drawn to the manly man. Yep.
Yeah. Car's missing him by this much. Changes the tyre. No worries. Everyone get back in the taxi. Let's go. And I just thought, jeez. You know, the thing is, Dan, and this is what I'm concerned about, is, you know, I love Emma.
Yeah.
I have a great girlfriend.
Yeah.
But now I have two relationships that I need to maintain.
Wow.
Because... if Beck and Andy split up,
how do you proceed with Andy?
I'll be devastated.
Yeah, well, do you think, based on these, again, I don't really agree with this. I haven't met him, but I believe a brother should maintain some sort of boundary with the partner. But anyway.
Well, you need to meet him.
Yeah, I will. I'll let you know what I think. But let's say things don't work out. Are you at a point already where you think, I think I might try and find a way to maintain a relationship with him?
I'll be friends. We'll be friends still.
Really? So you've befriended... It's no longer Beck's boyfriend. He's Tim's friend.
Beck, my sister's dating one of my mates.
Yeah, so. Tim's friend Andy.
Yeah.
It's not every day you hear something like this.
No.
It's not. So you've just talked about your trip to South Korea. As people are probably aware, you were there for the Winter Olympics, your brother.
Yeah.
Great little outing, or?
Well, he won a bronze medal.
He did. He won a bronze medal.
Bronze medal in the men's half pipe. Scotty James, well done.
Scotty, but yeah.
Very
proud of him.
Yeah.
But back home, it got a lot of coverage, especially because of your brother, my cousin, Scott. Yeah. He was sort of everywhere. And like everyone was like, let's get behind this Aussie kid who's going for a medal. Why not? Yeah. We love an underdog.
Love the underdog.
And at that point, I started, like, obviously, having a vested interest, I started paying more attention to the observing of the Winter Olympics through the eyes of Australians.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, the climate we live in here doesn't really lend itself to the sport of the Winter Olympics, does it?
Well, there's no snow. And those who have been to the snow and explore, it's a very small population,
Dan. It is. And it's few and far between the trips to the snow. Yeah. Something's sort of come to my attention.
Yeah.
People, and this probably applies to normal Olympics as well, the Summer Olympics, people seem to become professionals.
Yeah, okay.
Every 4 years, depending, alternating what's going on, they seem to think they're in the know with sports that they're not even familiar with.
Right.
I mean, they've set up the luge. They've got things going down the luge left, right and centre, and people going, ooh, don't know about that. I think it's about a 75, that score. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What are you basing that on?
Went a bit high on that. On that turn, didn't he, guys?
No, they didn't really stick the landing, didn't they? Because they're still standing. And aside from that, I don't know what a landing is.
I feel like when big sporting events ever come into a town, Australian Open with the tennis.
Yep.
Summer Olympics.
Yep.
We do. We get the armchair experts start to come out. Yes. And they go, that forehand. Roger's forehand doesn't look
like it normally does, does it? Really? Because how often do you watch Roger?
Only
do you
watch him once a year.
Once a year.
The Australian Open.
So it's a little different from last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great observation.
It is frustrating. I was wondering, did you encounter much of that over there, or when you're immersed in it, are people exposed a little bit more like that? Because it's easy for us to do from the comforts of our own home, far away across the seas, Tim. We can go, wasn't very good that.
I think when you're there, you're constantly thinking, could be an expert sitting next to me. I'm not going to say anything.
That's the issue. What I think we need to do is have more experts stay behind. Scatter them out across the country.
Good idea.
Just to sort of police this, because it impacts the viewing.
Local pubs. Yeah. Just experts.
Just experts in the green and gold. I mean, obviously being Australia, green and gold expert just in the middle of the pub.
Yeah.
Just, hey, come on, Steve. Yeah. I spoke to you earlier, mate. You don't know. Sorry.
What event at the Winter Olympics did you find yourself being an expert at?
I mean, there's something about the ski jump thing. What do they call that?
Aerials.
Where they go over the little mountains. Aerials.
The aerials?
Yeah, yeah. They like the thing where they did the movie on it with Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, ski jumping.
Yeah, well, I watched Eddie the Eagle and I thought that gave me a good insight.
Dan, as I mentioned at the top of the show, was sick last week.
Mm.
Apologies, I couldn't be here.
Yeah. It is a grey area around the sickness, but we'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I went to the doctors, and my doctor is a lovely guy, but doesn't have the right face for his occupation.
Oh, okay. What's wrong with it? Well,
and I've noticed that this pops up a fair bit. There's that saying, got a face for radio. You know,
okay,
it's that joke. It's like, oh, he's an ugly guy.
Wouldn't be good on TV where we can see him.
Yeah.
Hiding behind a microphone, yeah.
There's not enough scrutiny put on every other profession, though, right? So
I guess because it would apply for other professions. It's never addressed, is it?
It absolutely does apply.
Okay.
And I think there should be. I mean, I'm happy to be the person who creates this.
Yeah.
But some sort of consultancy or firm that does match your face with an occupation that best suits it.
Okay, so you feel as though you've got not only an ability to spot this, but to also better place people in professions based on their appearance.
It's a really important thing for the customer, Dan. For example, at the doctor's, I went in, I had flu-like symptoms. I was rattling off the symptoms. And by looking at my doctor's face, he's a lovely guy, but he looks worried all the time.
Oh,
he's got a worried face.
Yep.
And so I'm sitting there going, you're supposed to be reassuring me, and I feel like you're telling me it's nearly over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as a, you know, on behalf of people with white coat syndrome, I wouldn't appreciate that.
Absolutely
not. Yeah. Because, as you said, you're expecting the worst.
Yeah. If a guy who came in who was a surgeon and he looked a bit jittery, a bit nervous and a bit...
No.
He could be a great surgeon, but that's not the point. He's got the wrong face for the occupation.
Okay. Tell me this. So you've got a doctor that looks quite concerned. Mm. You feel as though you'd have the ability to open a practice that says, look, I can better place you in a career to suit your face.
Yes.
Where would you put him? What do you think he's better suited towards?
I think he probably needs to go to... you've stumped me.
There's a few options because worried where do you want to see concerned, worried? Do you want to see it...
Traffic controller.
Maybe. Yeah, well...
Just sort of a...
Okay, yeah. Because you're probably happy for them to look worried because there's a lot of machinery around. They've got a lot of responsibility on their weight, on their shoulders. Just sort of being like, I've got to control this road. Yeah. At least they look like they're actively thinking about what's going on.
People in cars need to go, he looks concerned, I need to seriously follow his instructions.
True, because they like, go slow.
Yeah.
And often we go, really, do I need to go slow? If he looks concerned, who knows what's up there.
But Dan, in the formative years of your life, we're starting to get our adult faces. What are we going to look like for the rest of our life? Imagine if you could go somewhere where there's a consultant and say, hey, I'm interested in A, B, C, and D.
It is just looking at my face. Interesting,
what do you reckon?
It is an interesting thought. If I walked in, just why not? Let's use me as an example.
Okay.
Where would you place me?
Well, I'll be honest. I've seen you in this position for a long time. I think you're a dead ringer.
Yeah.
For, someone who's you're walking into an aquatic or sport recreation center and you're that guy greeting. Going, good to see you again, and buzzing the passes in. That's you. That's you. Your sport recreation face.
So, you and I, Tim, we both agree that we're somewhat wound up people at times. We get a little bit on edge. We get a little bit stressed. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And we've spoken at length before about trying to find different things to do to help relax, just unwind.
Yes.
You've spoken about meditation.
Meditation, yeah. I've tried to help me with sleep. I've tried rubbing magnesium gel on the soles of my feet.
See, you go to probably further extremes than I'm willing to go to. I think that sounds ridiculous. Okay. But anyway, I decided to try yoga.
Oh.
Yeah, George was like, you know what? Come try yoga with me. And I thought...
You're a yogi. That's what they're called.
People who have listened to the podcast for a while know our feelings about yogis. And it's a very... They seem like very zen people, don't they? A lot of
they do. And when you enter their world, you almost get a little bit... You transcend.
Yes.
You sort of go, I feel relaxed just being around you.
And that's what's quite appealing about it. You sort of go, look, if that's how easy it is, I can just go to this place,
yogis,
spend an hour there, stretch a bit, hang out, sort of breathe and stuff, which is what it's advertised as. You know,
have a gluten-free protein ball. With a yogi.
I mean, yeah. Like, by the end of the day, I should be feeling pretty great, shouldn't
Absolutely,
I?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Have you done it?
I have, yeah.
Well, what did you make of it?
I liked it. I'm not flexible. I found that out. I found that out about myself. It's a very confronting sort of scene. And I feel like it takes a lot of practice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably the How'd most stressed go? I've ever been.
It's supposed to be relaxing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, it wasn't. And to be honest, I'm quite annoyed with the yogis about it. Because for so long, yoga is displayed, as I said before, as something that is a surefire fix to...
Stress.
Anxiety. Like, this will cure all.
And it's done the opposite to you.
It's absolutely stressed me out. I went home aggravated because I didn't know the positions. They're going, get into the crow. What's the crow? I'm at the back of the room. I can't quite see the instructor. I can't see. Is she on her hands or on her feet? I can't work out. What's the downward dog? I mean, now I can... They need to look into that. Because let's be honest, everyone just thinks of a sexual position when they talk. Yeah, okay. Am I right?
So it's the wording, it's the shortening. It's assuming that people know what they're doing.
Yes, it's yogis who run the class thinking you're coming into our world.
Okay.
Keep up.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfair. And all it does is it detracts from the goal of relaxing me. It stressed me out.
Did you look around and look at everyone else getting it right and you just were getting frustrated?
So absolutely worked out. George is next to me doing these things and on one hand, foot in the air, like a stretch.
How long was
and
the session?
And she's going, you've got to do it this way. I can't do it that way.
How long was the
first time I've ever done it.
How long was the session?
An hour.
An hour of just tenseness and incorrect manoeuvres, and it's just horrible. Are you going back?
Yeah, well, we're going Tuesday night, and I'm hoping for it to be a little bit better. Okay.
Dan, you just spoke about yoga. You're a bit wound up. You're a bit tense and stressed out. And there are lots of things in life that do get to you. Often little things.
There are. I honestly sometimes feel like it's why we have the podcast. Just to try and voice it and vent it and just make each other feel better about the world.
You're not wrong, because I've got something that has annoyed me as like, well.
Let's try it.
Something that people think is probably small, but I don't. It annoys me every single time I go to the grocery store.
Okay, a bit of shopping, good.
And it's not right. Something needs to change.
What?
Because if it doesn't, I will say something in public, or I'll write a letter, which is also effective.
Okay, okay, go on. Before I ask who would you write the letter to, go on. What's your rule?
My beef...
Your beef.
...is with...
Yes.
...the 12 items or less counter. Not the counter itself. I think it's a great initiative by the supermarkets to...
Well, people... Not everyone's there doing a weekly shop, but that's people right. are in just grabbing a few items...
Absolutely.
...in and out. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cool. What's your issue with it?
Well, who's checking 12 items or less? No one, Dan, is the answer. I know I gave you a second to think about it, but no one is policing it.
Well, if I was to say anyone was, I would imagine it's the person scanning the items.
You're there, though.
But, I mean, what are you meant to do? You get to 12 and you go, they've got three more. Actually, sorry, I'm going to have to get you to go over to...
Of course they're going to continue to scan everything. That's what I'm saying.
That's a good
I'm
point.
I'm very conscious of, if I've got four items, I go, I'm sweet to go there. If I have 13, Dan, one over... I won't. I'll go to self-checkout or I'll go to other... I'm very strict with these and no one else is, and it really annoys me, and I think there needs to be someone policing it.
Okay.
With one of those clickers.
Because if we have policies and procedures in place, Tim, what's the point if we're not just going to ignore them?
Exactly.
Why put up the sign? 12 items or...
Yeah.
Why not just have absolute chaos like we used to have? I mean, we need to enforce this sort of stuff.
It needs to be enforced.
Okay. So... To enforce, though, I mean, what's your suggestion? How do people enforce it? So you reckon somebody with a clicker on the edge of, like, just before? Do you reckon they're clicking prior to scanning?
No, I'm talking about it's like the 12 items or less line is like a nightclub.
Okay.
Right? Okay, and there's a bouncer out the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you line up and he goes, 12 items there?
Let's see. Yeah. Pull
click,
it out.
Click, 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 click. 12. Good. You're in. And if you're over... Sorry, not for you tonight. Sorry, boys.
So it's almost like a nightclub where it's like, you know, it's one in, one out now. So really, it's either you get rid of an item.
Absolutely.
Or you go.
Yep.
Wow, isn't
that? It needs to be as strict as a nightclub. The 12 items or less aisle needs to be as strict as the most exclusive nightclub.
So what was your instance the other day? I feel like this is off the back of something. You're there?
Well, someone in front of
me.
What
did you have? Were you in the? You were in the line.
I had chocolate. I had a couple of little things. A little coconut water.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
You know, a couple of little things. Someone in front of me, though.
Yeah.
Had about 23 items. I reckon I counted.
You know what I would also say, Tim? I would say baskets is a good indicator that somebody probably belongs there. Trolleys should not be anywhere near.
No.
The 12 items or less.
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody's got a trolley, they've got too much to carry. You can't carry more than 12 items.
Yep.
You can't carry that.
Yeah, and I'm angry and I'm writing a letter.
Tim, you and I have said many a time, especially on the podcast, we have similar fashion sense, don't we?
Yeah. Open shirt with a t-shirt, jeans is our go-to sort of look.
Yeah. But I've sort of realized that every week it's a bit of a stress for me coming to do the podcast. I'm like, oh, Tim and I are going to be in the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
Now that we film this, we can't really get away with it.
I think everyone has someone in their life that they go, we dress similarly. Should we text each other and check that we're not wearing the same thing to go to this event?
Yeah, of course. I want to eliminate that whole issue now.
Okay.
I've decided I'm probably due as well for a bit of a fashion change. Yeah, mix it up a bit.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. But with change comes great scrutiny.
Yeah, that's true too.
So, my whole thing is, while I'm excited and intrigued to debut a new style of Dan, I'm sort of thinking, how do you best go about, you know, introducing it?
Yeah, it has to be, well, my advice would be a trickle feed.
Trickle feed. What are you thinking? Social media.
Well, give me a rundown of of what you're thinking of changing. Is this accessories or is this full blown? I'm going to start wearing different cut of jeans.
Different cut of jeans, okay. different style, like shirt. You and I, we like a, what are they, like a plaid shirt?
Like a plaid shirt.
Yeah. Like we like that sort
like
of stuff.
Like a flannelette plaid shirt.
Boots. I mean.
So we're talking.
No jewelry. Like you and I, like we don't really wear jewelry. We wear a watch. Like we're pretty basic guys.
So trickle feed, Dan. What I mean by that is slowly start to introduce. Maybe the jeans are the first change.
Okay.
Just introduce it to people slowly. I mean, when people go out for a restaurant and they're wanting to experiment with new foods,
yeah,
they don't just go, hit me with all your spices. You got to train.
That's true.
You've got to train the palate. Yeah. Train the palate.
Start at a 5, build to an 8.
Yeah, right. Okay. So maybe the top half first, second half. Will you do it on Instagram?
Well, I was going to say, that's what I was sort of thinking. Do you do it out of the public eye in that you don't have to see the feedback? I mean, then again, Instagram, if I don't get many likes, I'll think that people don't particularly like the change.
Yeah, okay.
It's hard to... I'm so worried about what people will think that it almost puts me off doing it.
You know what might be safer is actually to just not change.
Well, it is just for the podcast, isn't it? I mean, do you like how I dress?
Yeah.
Of course you do. You dress the same.
There you go. Dan, it's probably the most exciting time of the episode. It's time for
Tim and Dan's rule book. The book of rules. Tim and Dan.
Good.
Not as smooth as usual, but yeah. All right, yeah. What's your rule? I like it too. I like that. It's a bit, I don't know. It's very off the cuff. It's very relaxed.
Did you notice
relaxed.
That pretty much everything we've spoken about today could be put into a rule.
You could argue that we're very rule orientated, yeah.
Everything we bring is a rule. But specifically each week, one thing
gets singled out.
We need to put one thing in the rule book. So, you know, we'll find something.
What have you got?
Dan, I was obviously overseas recently. Lots of airports. I was at one airport and needed to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And walked in the men's bathroom, ladies, there are urinals.
Okay.
Sometimes there is a urinal wall. Sometimes there are individual singular urinals for one person to use.
It's always exciting when you go to a different country to walk into the toilet and see what's different. Yeah. Was it just a standard urinal, like circle urinals on the wall, individual ones?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking here?
Yeah, quite Western, actually.
Okay, so nothing too exciting.
So, walked in. And it was four walls, like a square almost nook, is where the urinals lived.
Yeah.
And there were urinals all along it. And it was empty. I walked in there. I was the only guy in there.
Love that. This is cool.
Yep. Right. Pick the litter.
Especially at an airport. So much foot traffic. Rare to get the whole toilet to yourself. Yep. Perfect. So what'd you pick?
I actually went for the top left-hand corner.
Yeah, so I like to go on corner.
Same angle that I was walking in on. Yep. Just went naturally. Boom.
It's a bit more private. You can sort of turn your back a little bit. Great.
That's right. So I went in. And stood at the urinal, started going, doing my business. And then another gentleman walked in.
Yeah.
And, well, let me ask you, if you walked into that situation, where would you place yourself in a square room?
I'd probably go, if there's a corner available, I'd go the opposite corner.
Opposite corner. Yeah, good. He didn't think so. He went to the urinal directly next to me.
Yeah, it's a huge issue when that happens, isn't it? Why?
There were probably 20 urinals, Dan? 5, 10, 15, 20, probably 20 urinals.
He couldn't have more options, yet he feels the need to go next to you.
I'm not sure if it was him walking in there and going, how best to use the space? What if 19, what if 18 people walk in after me?
It could be an OCD thing. It's like, what's the natural order? You would progress along the urinals, I guess. But I mean, if there's that many urinals, you're not concerned. You're only going to be in there for 10 seconds or so.
I know. Well, Dan, it made me go, needs to be a rule about this, and we need to get it into the rule book ASAP.
What do you feel your concerns are about somebody taking that? It's an invasion of privacy, unnecessary invasion of privacy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You are a bit naked.
You're
a bit vulnerable in that position.
Okay.
You know,
because I was already
going.
Yeah.
So I couldn't just go stop.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you suffer from stage fright, what a predicament.
Yeah.
What a predicament. Yeah, okay. Yeah, rule. Let's make a rule.
So the rule that I wrote down is there needs to be a one urinal buffer rule.
Okay.
In that situation, one urinal buffer.
Yes.
Now, You could probably even stretch that to two. In that situation... Yeah.
I was going to say it almost...
You could do two.
If it depends how willing you are to do a little bit of maths when you walk in. Because, as you said, if there's 20 urinals on display and there's only one person in there, I would be stretching that out. I think it's dependent on the person-to-urinal ratio within the bathroom. So get your dividing signs out and just sort of work out where you're best placed.
Work out that ratio.
Yeah. But general rule, if there's, you know, four urinals in a bathroom, one other person in there, one urinal gap.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will just mention as well. Yeah, minimum. And I did flag this past a friend when I was, you know, going to put this rule in.
Yeah,
and they
also
said, what about a urinal wall? And I said, good, great question.
Yeah.
That becomes more of a trained eye. It needs to be sort of one person buffer. So imagine one person with quite broad shoulders and then go, that's my spot there on the urinal wall.
Wow. That is... Look, and... I think we've just proven people have different takes on the urinal situation.
Yeah.
But I think as long as we all abide by the one urinal gap.
Buffer. Yep.
I reckon we'll be all right.
Good. So there's another rule in Tim and Dan's rule book. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, the book of rules. Tim and Dan. Sped it up that time, yeah. Cut it there.
Dan, another episode comes to a close. We covered off a hell of a lot.
Yeah, we did. It's good to be back. It's good just to get back in motion, isn't it, Tim? 2 weeks off. You're not going anywhere next week, are you?
Not going anywhere next week. Good. I'm just warming up. I'll be back next week with more things. I'm excited about your rule. You've been furiously writing rules for the rule.
I have. I'm up to about 20 rules for the rule book. Yeah, mate. Quick, because as you said, a lot of our content ends up just being... adapted rules, doesn't it?
But the whole podcast could be one giant rule book.
It could. It really could. But
we couldn't sing the song every single time.
No, so it'd get repetitive. Yeah, so, absolutely. But don't worry, there is no shortage of rules for the rule book.
Absolutely.
One day, I love the idea of us actually having a physical book.
Yeah.
Be great.
Well, the great thing about the rule book, Dan, is that people can get in touch with their suggestions for the rule book. They can hit us up on social media.
Yes. Facebook, Tim and Dan. Search us there. You'll find us. Like it as well.
Yeah.
Also, Tim Dan Graham, Instagram, Tim Dan Tweets, I should say, and YouTube. We've gone through this a couple of times, so it doesn't come up if you search Fly on the Walls. Type Tim and Dan, hit the channel tab.
Oh, and then we'll be at the top.
Yeah, we'll be at the top.
Try that.
Subscribe there too. Yeah,
I haven't struggled with that.
You struggled with it, but you're a little bit...
Got there.
You struggle with the tech, don't you?
I do struggle with the tech, but I got there in the end.
If I can teach Tim, you can work it out.
You can do it too. Dan, it's been a pleasure as always, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
Can't wait, mate.
All right, mate.
See you then. See ya.